Good morning, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 to noon, or just through restaurantguysradio.com. Good morning, Francis.
Hey there, Marky. How are
What's
you
What's going
morning?
On?
Well, lots. I'm proud to be a New Jerseyan
today. It is a good day to be a New Jerseyan.
And I want to thank the New Jersey State Legislature and our governor for
doing the right thing.
And it's held in special contrast because over last Tuesday, I don't know, for those of you who haven't been following the restaurant guys, we are big champions, big proponents of pulling junk food out of schools.
Been pushing for since we've been on the air.
It wasn't in schools until the 90s to the extent that it's in schools. So if you didn't go to high school in the 90s, you don't know how much and how accessible the sugar and candy and vending machines are. And you may not also know that these large corporations hire child psychologists to conduct their marketing, and what they're doing in the schools is not only making money, but trying to brand our children for life.
Well, so does so does like Nickelodeon hires child psychologists, and what they do, Nickelodeon, they program, and if your child, if the child being studied turns its head, they document every time that the child loses eye contact with the television.
That's so funny.
It's sick. It's really sick.
So anyway, so we passed in Jersey, we passed a law. It was under a process, a largely apolitical process, an insulated from partisan politics process, started by Governor McGreevy, of all things, and then passed by the under bipartisan support by both houses of the legislature and signed by Governor Cody. And starting like next week, the sugary stuff will not be allowed to be in schools, middle schools and grammar schools.
It'll be fully phased in by 07, by September of 07.
And I think that's just great. Now, we need to do some work still. We need to make sure that there are good foods that are had there. And we took our cue because even before the New Jersey legislature had passed the act, the Connecticut legislature had really some people did a lot of great work, and it was a very partisan battle, and the huge corporate soda conglomerate evil overlords were working very hard to make sure that your children have access to sugar all the time.
And caffeine. Come on.
Sugar and caffeine all the time. And what happened
corn
was
syrup,
the Connecticut,
other good things.
The Connecticut legislature, somehow there was enough integrity in the Connecticut legislature to overcome all of that money and all of that power and all of their evil, wily ways. But today, we have a special, we're going to talk specially about Governor Jody Rell of Connecticut, who replaced the last governor of Connecticut, who was a
stand-up guy.
Stand-up guy. and she vetoed the junk food bill. It is not going to take effect. She vetoed, it was so important to her that there be sugar in schools for our children that she overrode the legislature of Connecticut to make sure that our kids have access to
Like what? Like honestly, what are you thinking? What could possibly make you veto a bill like this?
The lobbyists from Coca-Cola.
Only one thing.
The money.
Cash.
So we have a special award today. The third inductee for the restaurant guys. Our Toady Award today goes to Governor Jody M. Rell of Connecticut.
Yay!
She is our third Toady. She's in the Toady Hall of Fame. I hope your kids get fat. Thank you, Governor Rell. We'll be sending out a plaque to her from us here in New Jersey, and thank God we live in New Jersey. Let me just sell you some of the Toady quotes.
I like the way you said, sell you some of the Toady quotes.
Well, just tell me some of this. What she said was, it's a matter of local control. Because we wouldn't want the state. Of course, it's up to the municipality. The task of determining and meeting the health and dietary needs of children, says the governor, should first and foremost be undertaken by the parents. Adoy, I understand this, but it's in the school system where the schools act as local parentis. Robert Zarowski, president of the Connecticut chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, a doctor, said that allowing junk food to be sold in schools does not give decision-making to parents. It takes it away. Here's a quote from a parent. If I wanted my daughter to drink Coke and Pepsi and eat junk food, I would buy it. But I don't. But unfortunately, when I go to school and see junk in the vending machines, there's not a whole lot I can do about it.
There's really not a lot you can do about it. Okay, but seriously, Francis, what would make someone like Governor Rell veto a bill getting vending machines out of the schools. What possibly could be the motivation?
Well, and you know why? Because here, listen to this. What's the difference between Connecticut and New Jersey? Connecticut, like most states, found itself enmeshed in a highly politicized, intensely lobbied food fight that broke down mostly along party lines.
Francis is quoting the New York Times from this weekend.
People may hint darkly at the power of food industry lobbyists. I'm not hinting. And Mrs. Rell's longtime ties to Coca-Cola's powerful lobbyist, Patricia Lachaine. Ms. Rell said she never talked to her about the issue.
Okay. They just winked at each other.
They're friends.
Okay? There's a little wink across the room.
The governor is friends with the Coke lobbyist, and she's about to veto the anti-Coke.
Not about to. Did it.
Right.
Done.
But it never came up. You know, they were having tea. They were like, oh, the cookies are good today, aren't they? Yeah, they are. Anything new?
Crimp it?
Nothing.
That's it. No, thank you.
No, I don't eat that stuff. I'm going to give it to my kids.
Worse, I'm going to give it to your kids.
Yeah, but here's what happened in New Jersey. It was really great. Now, you know, we bash people so often that it's nice to be able to say good things about something. That under a process begun 2 years ago by former Governor Jim McGreevy, remember him? Officials from the Agriculture, Education, and Health Departments all held hearings and conducted research and managed to operate outside partisan politics. They stuck to grams of fat and science. And, wow, that's great. And look, you know what? And this is really a great thing. We've gotten the Department of Agriculture and the Federal Department of Agriculture full of toadies that are just, you know, people from the meat industry regulating the meat industry. But in the New Jersey Department of Agriculture is pretty good, actually. And to get that, we have agriculture, we have health, and we have education together. Of course, you're going to get good policy for change.
Right.
Don't know how you did it. Congratulations.
Francis?
Yeah.
I think that the world has learned a lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
When you oust a governor, you should also oust the lieutenant governor.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Because corruption begets corruption.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. We have two replacement governors. Both active parallels are striking, except that New Jersey's better than Connecticut. You know,
right.
Because Cody took over from McGreevy.
But Cody wasn't a lieutenant governor.
Yeah, it's true. He's the all-powerful speaker of everything and commander of the universe
he is
right now.
Commander of the universe for about another 11 months.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's fine.
No.
It's fine. He's doing pretty well. I really can't complain.
Did you know that teenage boys today drink twice as much soda, 21 grams of soda, 21 ounces of soda, as they do milk? That's an absolute reversal from 1990. An absolute reversal.
Well, because everybody knows that soda is much better for you and should be available in schools.
That's what I want. I want to get this.
When you're seven, you should be able to get soda. Come on.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. When they talk about local control, and the other thing about these toadies from the beverage industry, yes, Coke and Pepsi, I'm talking about you. Come and get me. When they have to come up with such nonsense when they give quotes. Like, the last Toady Award winner was a beverage lobbyist, and she said something like, well, we believe in educating children about food choices, but we don't think those should be applied to individual foods.
Right.
You know why I had to say something stupid like that? Because there's no reasonable case.
There's no argument. Thanks, Governor Rell, for making New Jersey look great.
We're going to talk to the inside scoopstress of journalism on food journalism in Jersey, Rosie Saferstein from New Jersey Monthly Magazine at egullet.com. In just a moment, come back and talk with us. So you're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:50. Hey, everybody, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We own Stage Left in New Brunswick, and we're here talking to you about great stuff. And, you know, we say in our tagline, we're going to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things of life. Well, there is a force in food journalism. There is a dark undercurrent. Well, it's not that dark, but there's an undercurrent. There's a tide. There is the scoopstress of New Jersey. The person where we get the inside track of half the time is, you may not realize this because she operates under the radar sometimes, is a woman named Rosie Saferstein. And Rosie Saferstein is the administrator of egullet.com, and she also writes the Food Bites page on newjerseymonthly.com. And everybody who's concerned about the New Jersey restaurant cuisine, including the other critics, reads Rosie's column because she knows everything, and I haven't quite figured out how. And she's here to talk with us. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, Rosie. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Wow.
Scooptress? I've never been called that before.
Scooptress. And you know it's true. You know what? Because we have a two-way relationship with Rosie, because every once in a while I get a little email from Rosie saying, hey, Francis, anything new?
Mm-hmm. And that's because I've heard something. I'm trying to find out if it's true.
You know what I was going to say? It's funny. Is 90% of the time when she calls me, there's something new.
Well, you've always been very kind and generous with your information and keeping me abreast on what's going on at the restaurant.
Well, absolutely, and I read your column as soon as it comes out. You can go to NewJerseyMonthly.com and sign up to get your notifications from Rosie when she will send you your little email that says, you know, check out what's happening at Rosie at Food Bites. And if you're interested in that kind of stuff, everything from food gossip, chefs on the move, where people are going, upcoming wine events and dinners, things like that. And
Openings and closings.
That's a big one.
Yes.
And I'm convinced, Rosie, that you predict like where critics are going to go, not in any sort of a diabolical way, but I know that every food critic in New Jersey says, oh, did you see that on Rosie? See that on Rosie?
Mm-hmm. And, well, I think sometimes when I write in openings and closings, they put that on their list of places to go, although they should wait at least 3 months before they review the restaurant.
Totally agree with you. I mean, we got some very favorable reviews in those first couple of months. But a restaurant is just kind of evolving. It's like tasting the bud of a tomato and saying that you can judge the tomato crop from
that's
that.
That's the worst analogy I've ever
yeah,
heard.
Yeah, not my best.
Well, you know, they say that the cool person goes to the restaurant the first week it opens and the smart one waits 3 months.
That's right. Pretty good. That's
I like
pretty
that.
Good. All right, Rosie?
Yes.
I'm asking you this on the air.
Yes.
How do you do it? How do you know everything that's happening in the New Jersey food industry before anybody else?
Well, I have a lot of friends, and they know I keep my mouth shut.
Uh-huh, until they... Yeah, you type it online. You keep your mouth
yeah,
shut.
You don't say anything.
You send an email to thousands.
But, well, first of all, I've been doing this since, like, I was born.
Uh-huh.
And I have been doing it before there were computers.
Right.
So my husband and I always went out to restaurants. We always collected restaurants, and friends would ask us for recommendations.
Right.
And then friends of friends would ask us for recommendations, and then strangers would call me up and ask for recommendations. When computers started coming into the homes in the late 80s, my husband said to me, let's get a computer. And I said to him, a computer? What am I going to do with a computer?
Right. You're going to play Pong.
Right. Yeah.
So we had the first computer on the street, and I started, you know, writing on the Internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this for so many years. I started my own food page. I was the first one in New Jersey to ever have a food page with, you know, restaurant reviews. And do you know that I looked in my old files, and I found a review that I did of Stage Left in 96?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
How do you do?
Well, no, it was excellent.
Oh, good.
It was excellent. And I thought you'd get a kick out of this. I put the piece de resistance was the fried banana split served with Russian dried fruit.
Oh, I remember that.
That was such a delicious dessert. Really simple, but fried bananas, 3 scoops of ice cream, Russian dried fruits on top of one
and
of them.
Smoked maple
nuts. Macadamia nuts.
Well, you have more information than me.
Oh, that was so good.
But it was a very positive review.
Oh, that's great.
So I was doing this as a hobby. You know, mm-hmm. I had a food page, and then I started working for New Jersey Online. So I was the first one to do the reviews, and I was doing the food forum then.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to New Jersey Monthly Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And but now I'm not doing reviews. I'm doing informational pieces, and it's much more fun.
Yeah. Before the age of the Internet, how did you collect all this information, and in what form did you publish it? Did you have a little newsletter? Or?
Before the Internet, I kept, you know, index cards. And it was just word of mouth that people knew about me. I was the one who knew about all the restaurants. This was a hobby. We did it.
Wow.
So it was, and then, you know, of course, once the Internet started, I used to say to people I had email, they didn't know what I was talking about.
Right, right.
I mean, that's how far back. So over the years, I've developed relationships with a lot of people in the restaurant industry.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And have made a lot of contacts.
Well, and so people, when they want to find to get in the Rosie inside scoop, can go to NewJerseyMonthly.com and sign up for your newsletter there?
Well, what they can do is, I mean, I have a list of people I send out, you know, to check the page every week. But if anyone is interested, they can just email me at Rosie, R-O-S-I-E, at NJMonthly.com. And I'll put them on my email list. I do that every week.
Uh-huh.
You know, on my own. So
I know, I get them.
And no charge for that at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if they have information, they can send me the information at the same email address also.
And by the way, Rosie gobbles up information, everybody.
And she never forgets a thing. She's likely to do something like say, yeah, you know, 9 years ago I had a banana split. It had this on it.
No, that's because I checked my files.
Yeah, well, but you knew it was somewhere in there.
Right.
Well, now, do you often visit the restaurants you write about?
Oh, sure. Sure, I do. I like to go to see, you know, what they're serving. Of course, a lot of times I'll get a press release from the PR agents, and I get a lot of information from the PR agents. They are godsends. They're wonderful. And, you know, and of course they're working for the restaurant. And they're sending you everything, and that's great. I use what I can use. I don't use, you know, what I can't use. But I do go to the restaurant. Sometimes I'm invited to press dinners or a wine dinner, you know, something like that, to get, you know, a feel for the restaurant. Sometimes before the restaurant opens, they
I got to pay you a compliment. You do. I see that you do get stuff from press releases and so forth, but your filter of information as to what you're being lied to, your bull filter is pretty good. So what comes through is, you know, it's pretty good information overall. Listen, we're going to talk more in just a moment with Rosie Saferstein, who's from NewJerseyMonthly.com, the food columnist, and also from eGullet about dining in New Jersey in just a moment. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, the time's 1125.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. Today we have with us the nice version of the Joan Rivers of the New Jersey restaurant scene, Rosie Saferstein.
We're christening you with all sorts of names today, Rosie. I don't know what got into us. We had our Wheaties this morning or something.
So, but, you know, I eat out 3 to 4 times a week.
Us
so
too.
I can keep a pulse on what's going on in New Jersey as far as the restaurants are concerned.
Well, this is a short segment before the news, and I want to talk with you after the news about what's going on and what's happened in New Jersey over the last 10 years or so. But I want to ask you, I want to pick your brain in the Reader's Digest version of what's hot right now. What are the cool places we should be looking for, going to markets, restaurants? What's going on?
Well, they're hot towns. That's what's hot. Towns have become like restaurant meccas. And you have towns like Montclair and Hoboken. New Brunswick also is... There are places that people are going. There's lots of...
It's a good thing that you added New Brunswick to that, Rosie.
Yeah.
I know how to speak. I know what to say.
You know your audience.
So the ethnic restaurants are hot. The BYOs are hot. But the wine dinners, on the other hand, at the restaurants with liquor licenses are very hot. A lot of people are enjoying the wine dinners.
Uh-huh. It seems like more and more... I mean, in the early 90s when we started doing them, They seemed less frequent. It seems like a lot of restaurants are doing wine dinners or beer dinners.
Thing.
Well, if you look at my food events page, there's a lot of them that are listed. You know, as I get them, everything goes on food events that comes into me that's food related.
Mm-hmm. What are the hottest food towns in New Jersey? What's your list of the top 5 food towns in Jersey?
I would say Montclair, Ridgewood, Hoboken, New Brunswick, Red Bank.
What's in Ridgewood?
Ridgewood, Village Green is in Ridgewood.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Which is American Eclectic Restaurant, small little BYO.
And they have a lot of other places in Ridgewood as well?
Ridgewood, yeah, they have a lot of, I think there's over 35 restaurants within maybe a 15-block area.
Ouch, wow. 35 restaurants in walking distance. Yeah. We're going to have to check out Ridgewood.
The problem is parking there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Ridgewood, and Montclair, of course, you know, we have a lot of, we have ethnic restaurants in Montclair. We have Fascino. With Ryan DiPersio, who is, you know, one of the hot chefs now. You know where it might become interesting in Rahway? David Drake just opened in Rahway.
Yeah, just
and
opened last
it should be interesting
week.
To see what happened to this little town. I think that's ripe for it to become a restaurant town.
Well, you got he's right across the street from the train station there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the most, if he's not the most talented chef in New Jersey, he's in the top 5 for sure.
He's a star chef.
He's
very talented. And I was there.
You were there. Well, we'll talk more about that after the news. We're here with Rosie Saferstein from NewJerseyMonthly.com and eGullet.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 1130. Back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, here with Mark Pascal. Together we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and check us out at our website, www.restaurantguysradio.com, where you'll find all sorts of useful information and links to older shows that you can even listen to online. Today we are talking with the woman I have dubbed the Scoopstress of New Jersey food journalism, Rosie Safferstein, who worked with NewJerseyMonthly.com, eGullet.com, and has been writing about food in New Jersey for a long time now and has forgotten more than Mark and I will ever know. Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm still here.
Before the break, we were talking about a new place. You were talking about various food towns, and I think that's sort of an interesting topic, how a town will sort of become a restaurant destination. And New Brunswick started that, oh, God, years ago in
yes.
the 80s.
Yes. Yep.
You know,
well, restaurants will feed off each other. There's no doubt about it, and no pun intended.
No, but also when a person goes into a town with a lot of restaurants, they'll go to one restaurant, you know, specifically to dine, but then they'll see all these other restaurants, and they'll say, gee, we have to try this place. We have to try that place. We have, yeah, and then they come back, and it just creates a very good experience for all the restaurateurs and the diners.
You know, I have to say, one of the things that's really interesting, now, Mark and I started working in New Brunswick in 1986. I started working in 86 in restaurants. Mark, I think, was 89. And we watched New Brunswick come back from a very challenged urban center in the 70s
mm-hmm.
to just, it's an to walk downtown New Brunswick today. I mean, I remember the first time I started at my job at 21 years old, and they said, don't take your tips home, leave them here and come pick them up tomorrow, because if you get hit on the head tomorrow, you don't want them to have stolen your tips. Now, that was 1986,
mm-hmm.
and here we are in 2005, and we are surrounded by hundreds of millions of dollars of luxury housing, three theaters, and there's a lot. There are a lot of people that worked very hard to make that happen. But one of the things that people were smart enough to do was to have restaurants be a linchpin
yes.
of the development. And you know, it's
sure, there's all these people walking. New Brunswick's a real walking town. You see people, and I'll use New Brunswick as the example because it's what I'm most familiar with. But a lot of these other towns, the restaurant towns that you're talking about, are the same way. People can walk. They can have a cocktail at one restaurant before they go out to dinner at another restaurant, and sometimes even go have dessert at a third restaurant. Mm-hmm.
But what you can be very proud of is that you have longevity. And
yeah.
with so many restaurants, you know, closing the first year that they open,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
you guys have really done a fabulous job.
Thanks.
And I also realized that last year for the New Jersey Monthly Reader's Choice Poll,
yeah.
you won in six categories.
Yeah, we took everything.
Yeah, it was nice.
We liked
that. Oh, my goodness.
That was nice.
That was fabulous.
That was one of those once-in-a-lifetime things where, yeah. where all
well,
the stars lined up for us.
The 2005 is out in August, and we'll see then.
Yeah. I was going to say, we can't go up. There's nothing else to get.
We'd be very happy.
Really,
if it...
You hit the big ones. I mean, best of the best in Central Jersey.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, fabulous. Best service, best wine list, best romantic, New American.
Yeah, I think Rosie wants to be invited back to the show.
And she's doing great.
No, but you know, I was going to be on the show. I wanted to check to see, you know, what you're all about and what's going on, and I found all this information that you can really be very proud of, and I know you worked very hard
Thank you.
To get there.
Well, you know, it's funny, because New Jersey Monthly readers, we have a real affinity with New Jersey Monthly, and I actually became friends with Anthony Giglio, who was the critic at New Jersey Monthly.
Well, you know, he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I know.
He's at New Jersey Line.
It's a real shame.
Well, actually, what's funny is he reviewed the restaurant. I had no idea who he was. He reviewed the restaurant. He called to fact check, and in fact checking the restaurant, as I took your email address and as I took Valerie Sinclair's email address or anyone's email address who reviews us so that I can keep people abreast of what's going on with press releases, I had his phone number. I said, you know, I realize you have a 201 telephone number. Where do you live? He said, well, I live in Jersey City. I said, I live in Jersey City. He lived two blocks away from me.
Oh, my. And yeah. I grew up in Jersey City.
Oh, did you really?
Yes.
Small world.
It is a hotbed of restaurant talent, that Jersey City.
Jersey City, downtown by the waterfront, is hot with restaurants.
Sure
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, what I was going to say about Jersey City is that Jersey City is as a New Brunswick has a unique situation with regard to restaurants, because one of the things that Mark and I say, and we've looked at other restaurants, we've consulted mm-hmm. on a bunch of different restaurants.
You might one day see the restaurant guys in Jersey City.
But it's one of the challenges of Jersey City is you're so close to Manhattan that you need to draw only from locally. Where in New Brunswick, we draw from Freehold and Marlborough mm-hmm. and East Brunswick and Monroe.
But you know what? You have to remember something. Going into New York,
mm-hmm.
you have the traffic, you have the tolls, you have parking at $35 to $50, you have a higher tax rate. I think that Jersey City does pull.
Sure.
I think it pulls from New York.
Mm-hmm. The risk of going through that tunnel could be 12 minutes from Jersey City.
Oh, an hour.
Could be an hour and a half.
Right. 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right. So mm-hmm. I always say to people, they say, oh, there are no good restaurants in New Jersey. And then I tell them all about these wonderful restaurants, and I say, why would you go to New York?
Yeah.
We've got everything here plus parking.
Yeah, plus parking.
Right.
And now you mentioned before.
Some of us have to valet, Rosie.
Right.
You mentioned before when we were talking about different restaurants that are emerging food towns. We said, you know, Rahway is a town that's a small town.
Mm-hmm. It's got a little theater.
And it's got a little theater, which has just come back. They're working very hard, and they've been working hard for years on bringing it back. And a restaurant just opened there called David Drake, opened by, well, David Drake, who has been cooking in New Jersey for 20 years and is one of the most talented chefs I've ever met.
We had the good fortune of working with David for 3 or 4 years back at the Frog and the Peach back in the late 80s.
So
we're super talented and has actually done some consulting for us at Stage Left when we were between chefs. And
we also
just a super guy and super, super talented.
And I was also at his bachelor party. Really bachelor party. But you can't get out of me what happened there. But Rosie, tell us about the restaurant. Tell us about what's going on there. We have not yet been able to get there.
Oh, well, you probably aren't well connected, that's all.
No. We're just busy, exactly.
Well, I got there.
Good for you.
So what's
he didn't know I was there. It was excellent.
Yep.
It was excellent. This is going to be a destination restaurant. People are going to go there. And I predict because of the low rents in Rahway, and Rahway is building itself up and coming back, that things are going to be very well. He's going to be very, very successful. And, you know, I have never met a foie gras that I didn't like.
Yeah.
But his was so outstanding.
He's terrific.
So delicious. It was an excellent, outstanding dinner. And this is the restaurant just recently opened.
Yeah. Just literally, I mean,
last week,
Rosie's talking about June 1st, this restaurant opened, or June 2nd.
It's a quiet opening, really. So don't tell anybody.
Too late, Rosie.
We're too late, Rosie.
We're actually going to, when we get David's permission, we're going to link his restaurant to the Restaurant Guys radio site so you can check it out. And it is literally, he's opened on purpose. We've, of course, talked with him about it at length. A little place, chef-owned, very few seats, and everything's going to be perfect. And that's really hard to find.
It was very, very good. And the menu on his homepage is not the menu that they're serving.
Mm-hmm.
They're serving a three-course.
Right, a more limited menu.
Price, $49. It's limited, and the wine list is limited, but you know what? As they
he'll grow that.
He's increase everything.
Again, you're talking about a restaurant that's open 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
He's doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
He's not trying to overreach too early in his restaurant. And we've all seen restaurants try and overreach in the early days
he's doing it right.
Starting.
He's doing it well.
Well, so then let's dish a little bit about David Drake. Let's talk about the restaurant that David Drake recently left.
Stage House Inn.
Now owned by Tom Britt.
Who
was the manager of the Frog and the Peach.
Another expatriate of Frog and the Peach with us.
6 degrees of separation.
I know, it's a paid place, isn't it?
It's the restaurant business.
Someplace.
It's the restaurant business. It's 1 degree of separation, Rosie.
Right. Stage House Inn, I haven't been there since Tom took over. I was there maybe over a year ago, and it was very good. They're doing a nice job, and I think that they're going to be putting in a bar and grill.
Yeah, they're working on that. But I have to say, Mark and I did go there for dinner. It was sort of on the way. We were in the neighborhood, and we know Tom as well, who had worked as a manager at the Frog and the Peach, which is in the same town where we operate. And the Stage House Inn is still a great place to go.
Yep.
You know, it's a slightly different place. I will tell you, you know, it's funny.
Food's still very, very good.
I learned about cooking from David Drake. He was the chef at the Frog and the Peach in 1986. I was 21 years old. And he invited me to come and just stand in his kitchen and watch him for an evening, which I did. And I said, that's it. This is my career.
That's interesting because when I started writing about restaurants, I said, you know, it's very easy to complain about a restaurant and say all the negative things, but you really need to know what goes on. So
Rosie,
I went to work in a restaurant.
Rosie, we'll be back in just one moment. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450 times 1145. Back with the Restaurant Guys. That guy did that last commercial, sexy, sexy voice. That man.
Oh, golly.
We're here with Rosie Saffergy.
Well, at least you have the voice.
We're here with Faces Made for Radio, right? We're here with Rosie Saffergy, who is the online food columnist for New Jersey Monthly Magazine, where she writes an amazing column called Food Bites. I suggest you go to njmonthly.com and check it out. We're going to link that to our site. And also administers egullet.com.
And Rosie, make sure you get that Taste of New Brunswick up on your site.
Yes, I'll have to check to see if it's there. But my page is called Table Hopping with Rosie.
Oh, it's Table Hopping. I don't know why I said Food Bites.
Because
I listen to Mark.
Right under the name Food Bites. Also. And I only run the New Jersey section of eGullet.
Right.
But that's the best one on there.
Talk to us about eGullet.com and how that works. And because I don't subscribe very often, but I know some other restaurateurs that do. I know, you know, patrons that do. I see you writing. It's quite a forum you have there. How does that
work? I jump on pretty frequently to see what's going on and what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, eGullet is an international food forum. So any place that you go in the world, you can go on there and find out about other restaurants. For example, I go on vacation, I go to the place where I'm going, and I find out which restaurants to eat at, and you find out from the local people, which is fun. But the New Jersey section, it's been up almost 4 years, and people write about their experiences in restaurants. They ask questions about restaurants, and you need to sign up. You go to sign up, and you have to put in some information. And you're posting.
Yeah, I mean, people ask all sorts of questions. From I live in Connecticut. My family lives in Philadelphia. We want to meet somewhere in the middle and find a restaurant.
Right.
What can we do? To, hey, I'm going to the Frog and the Peach next week. What's it like?
And what do you recommend I order? Mm-hmm. How is the wine list? Or I'm having a party. Where can I have a party in the New Brunswick area?
Right. Stage left. Oh, sorry, I thought it was a question.
Or does anybody know what happened to David Drake? He's not at Stage House Inn anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very fun and gossipy, and the people, like the regular contributors, they're all like, there's Rosie, you run the thing, and then all the regular contributors, like they're all regulars, they all know each other, you know? It's like you guys have a real thing going on.
Well, I still have people, I have people now on Egoet that started with me back in the late 80s when I was writing on Prodigy. I was writing the food forum on, the New Jersey food forum on Prodigy. So we go back a long, long time.
So let me ask...
Rosie, I noticed on there, you're member number 8.
Right.
Okay, so you go all the way back.
Right.
Rosie, let me ask you, do things ever get out of hand? I mean, is what's posted there edited or moderated at all?
Well, I read everything on the New Jersey board. So
right.
If there's any problems, I take care of it. Of course, when you sign up, you have to put your name and your phone number, your address, and we check it. To make sure. And if somebody gives us a lot of problems or doesn't follow the quote rules, you know, we can throw them off.
What are the quote rules?
Oh, there's loads of rules. I mean, there's so many rules. But
do you have any interesting stories of people who got out of hand who were just like, you know, like, all right, you're out. You're flagged.
You know what? If people start getting nasty to each other and we'll send them an email, you know, we're talking about food and we're not talking about personalities. And if they keep going on and on and on, we can, you know, set up the page so that they can't post anymore.
But Rosie, isn't food talking about food talking about personalities? Isn't that part of what it's all about?
It gets nasty, and it's and you have a problem with. We don't want to be brought to court.
Have you read some of the restaurant reviews?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but Rosie.
No. When you start saying that, you have to be careful when they start saying things about a person, about their personality.
Sure, sure. I was just teasing, Rosie.
I know, but you know, we want to be. We can put negative comments.
Right.
But you know,
they shouldn't be personal.
Somebody in the back.
Exactly.
And also, you have to know. You can't say I went there and he served me a frozen entree. You can say it tasted like a frozen entree.
Right.
Or this chef does not know how to cook, and he put the wrong ingredients in something is an opinion.
Right.
But if you say that the chef was nasty and he came out and he was cursing at me and he doesn't know what he's talking about, then you're starting getting malicious.
You're crossing the line.
Hey, yeah.
Now, we're talking a lot about online stuff, and I think not all of our listeners are online. I'm amazed. I mean, when we opened the restaurant in 92, you know, we didn't have a website. We thought, you know, well, maybe we better get a website sometime around 94, 95, and who knows, we'll put our menu up there. I tell you, that website is the way we do a lot of our business. People find out about us, they get directions, they email us, they check the menu, all sorts of things happen. So, and I've seen, and we, of course, email our patrons on a regular basis. I have 5,000 people that I email to on a regular basis. What have you seen?
And some of them even enjoy it.
Yeah, so what have you seen? They don't all block me.
Yeah, the jokes you said last time were not that good.
No, sorry. But what have you seen? As far as, is the Internet really having an influence on where people choose to go to eat and what's happening in restaurants?
It is, yes, because, first of all, you can go on and see the menu and see if you like the menu. You can look at the wine list, see if you like the wine list. You can look at the prices, see if you like the prices. There's no surprises, and because you have a choice of restaurants to go to, those websites that are full of information, sometimes it's better for the consumer.
Right. Nobody finds you from the phone book anymore.
Yeah, no. We don't. We're nixing our Yellow Pages ad this time because, like, who is going to look in the Yellow Pages for go to Stage Left? Nobody. It's crazy.
No, you go to the Yellow Pages online.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
and I think the food forums have made a big difference also.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that interactive things like the New Jersey Monthly Reader's Choice Poll is done online now. That people, you know, if I have to fill something out and mail it in and go to the post office, maybe I'll do it, maybe I'll drop the postcard.
Unlikely, yeah.
But if I'm online and I can just click on and do it, yep. I mean, Zagat.com, New Jersey Monthly's Reader's Choice Poll when it comes out,
mm-hmm.
these are ways for tens of thousands of people to weigh in
right.
on what they think about the restaurants.
Well, New Jersey Monthly has seen a tremendous increase in the number of people voting in
of
the
course.
Reader's Choice Poll, and that's good for everybody.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Sure, a bigger sample ballot is better for everybody.
Absolutely.
I agree.
But it's still a reader's choice.
Yeah, you're talking to the statistician in me there, for sure. The larger the sample size, the better.
You know, the other thing that happens is, that's interesting is in the way that the Internet is used is that people are very savvy. And, you know, we email farmers when we're trying to find out mm-hmm. what's coming up and what's going to be ready, et cetera, and so forth. But also our customers know what's fresh and what's seasonal and what's
yep.
hot and what's not.
Well,
it's,
that's the difference with food. Like you were talking about food 10 years ago in restaurants and food today. People want to know about the farms and where did you get the ingredients. And, you know, when you put a steak on your menu or a pork chop, you usually sometimes say, you know, it came from, you know, this farm.
Right, right.
It's branded.
And people know what you're talking about. You know, it's like Cy Sims, an educated consumer is our best customer. Hey, we'll be back in just another moment while we're talking with Rosie Saferstein from New Jersey Monthly Magazine and eGullet.com. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we're talking to Rosie Saferstein, who is a food writer and news columnist. And Rosie, tell us a little bit about what your favorite restaurant in New Jersey is right now. Don't say stage left.
Right, stage left.
Yeah, of course.
Nicholas in Red Bank.
Terrific.
Yeah. I like his food a lot. And I like some of the little places like the Jefferson in Hoboken or the dining room at Anthony David's in Hoboken.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I like Amanda's in Hoboken. Jocelyn's.
Yeah. Sure.
I like Kyoto for sushi. Uh-huh. Forum Park.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. You know what? The thing is, there are so many restaurants for so many different things.
All right. Well, I'm going to narrow it down for you now. I think Nicholas wins fine dining. At least even with stage left, but what every New Jerseyan wants to know, where it all comes down to it, fine dining, schmine dining, where's the best pizza in Jersey?
I'm still looking.
What's your favorite so far?
You know what? I used to go to a place in Edison, I think, called Frank's, and I live in West Orange now, and I haven't found any place that's...
Have you been to the Star Tavern in Orange?
You know, I haven't. I travel hundreds of miles to go to restaurants. But you know what? I'll get there.
Rosie, tonight, go to Star Tavern in Orange.
Hey, okay.
Rosie, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks so much, Rosie.
It's fun.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Rosie Saferstein, who's a food columnist in charge of the New Jersey section of eGullet.com, which is an online community related to food.
Also writes for New Jersey Monthly Magazine.
Also writes for New Jersey Monthly Magazine. We'll put our information about her up on our website a little bit later on. And I really recommend, if you like being one of those people who goes in the first week of a restaurant review, that's a really, really good idea.
So a little bit of a sad day here for the restaurant guys.
Restaurant guys want to say goodbye to our engineer, Grant Kneller, who has been our engineer since the beginning, has kept us on track, played that MGM music earlier, and mm-hmm. I'm getting a little teary-eyed.
And gets almost one out of three shows correct. Thanks, Grant.
This is the house of tough love. I would never work for you. Do you understand me? Never. That was Grant on the air, I hope. Anyway, I hope that you've enjoyed listening to Rosie Saferstein with the Inside Scoop on food, wine, and the finer things in life. We are the audio version of the Inside Scoop on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450.